Yes, Lord, we will not fear or be afraid because you are our God. You are on our side. You are in our lives. And Father God, you have called us to serve you and to follow you for such a time as this. And so, Lord, let us be bold in our stance. Let us sing loud in our praise, and let us pray believing that you will answer every prayer. And so, Lord, this morning we come asking you, Lord, to speak to us through your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, awesome. You may be seated. Good morning. How y'all doing? You doing good? Awesome. Hey, I've got a couple of quick announcements for you. First of all, our underground youth, that is the ages 12 to 18, they are going to be going to Flag X. That's in Flagstaff. It's an extreme sport thing where they do all this, like, you know, climbing and rope and sliding. Anyways, they're going to that this Friday. Today is the last day you can sign your youth up. So if you plan on sending your youth, they're having a meeting after this service across the way in the underground youth sanctuary. So just head on across the way and get your youth signed up. It's going to be super awesome. Last time they went, everybody had a blast. And so I'm sure they're going to have a great time. Hey, I'm real excited. This Wednesday, my pastor, the guy who led me to Jesus when I was an atheist, the guy who discipled me, ordained me, and sent me here, he's going to be here this Wednesday to teach on what is an effective church. And he's got 10 points. I've seen the outline. It's going to be awesome. I would love nothing more than to have a bunch of HBCers there to encourage him and to show him a great HBC welcome. He's a fantastic Bible teacher. So if you could show up Wednesday, 6 o'clock, for a great Bible study with my pastor, Pastor Ron Hint of Calvary Chapel, Houston. Okay, I have one more thing to say. Listen, I love living in Arizona. It's a great state. I love the fact that we can open carry. You know, it's a very open gun state. But let me encourage you. If you want to carry a gun to church and you do that, okay, that's fine. But we've had an issue that seems to be reoccurring, and that's where people leave their guns in the bathroom. Not good. Not good. And we're just going to encourage you, if you carry a gun, carry your gun. Don't leave it in the bathroom. The only boom in there should be you, not your gun. That was terrible. I'm sorry. But listen, you know, because here's the thing. If that happens, we're just going to eventually have to say no guns because it's just too dangerous. Listen, use good gun safety if you're going to carry one. You know, listen, in this world today, things are crazy. I understand why many people carry. But listen, in church or anywhere, you don't want to just, you know, leave your gun laying around. That's not good. Okay, so keep that in mind. All right, so if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I've entitled our message, God of Order. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. First Corinthians 14. And I've broken our verses into three sections. Who's speaking, what's spoken, and why speak? Now, what's interesting is I told my wife as I began my study this last week, I said, "Hun, I'm going to try hard to do the whole chapter, 40 verses. I didn't make it. I've broken it down to 1 through 25. Well, guess what? Last night and this morning, I didn't make it even through the 25 verses. I made it 15 verses. I couldn't help it. There's a lot here, and you'll see what I mean. But here we are, God of Order, chapter 14. Let me pray one more time. Father God, may you give me utterance to speak your word as you want it spoken of. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are, and in verse 1, it starts off with, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Excuse me a second. Now, as Paul is here in chapter 14, I love how he links the beginning of chapter 14. He's going to link it with chapter 13. Watch. First of all, we saw in chapter 12, Paul spoke of several spiritual gifts. He lists quite a few of them. It's not exhaustive, but he does list quite a few gifts. Then we come to 13, and he shifts gears, and he talks about love, right? Well, now when we come to chapter 14, he's going to talk about implementing those gifts that he was talking about over in chapter 12. But he's gonna really focus on two gifts in particular. He's going to talk about prophecy and tongues. And the reason why that's important is because those are two very highly controversial gifts in the church. They're highly controversial. In fact, at the end of chapter 12, he says something very interesting. You're going to see how controversial it is here in a second. At the end of chapter 12, Paul says this. He says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. And we saw how he said that in 12:31. But then here at the beginning of 14, he says this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Basically, he says the same thing. So nestled between those two was love. And he said that was a more excellent way. Why? Well, understand, spiritual gifts and love are two allies of our Christian walk. I mean, we have a lot of allies, but they are allies. Kind of like, think of it this. When a bird flies, it needs both wings in order to fly. An eagle flies, it has both wings. If it only had one, it couldn't fly. As Christians, we need the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to be working in tandem in order for us to fly, to be able to soar above our troubles. I love what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, this flight that Isaiah is speaking of, that can only be achieved through the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That's the only way. That's the only way it can be achieved. With these two, a Christian can reach the heights that God has intended for our lives. Here's my question. Are you reaching the heights spiritually that God wants you to reach? Or do we quench the Spirit? Are we not going as high as God would want us to soar? The Bible's very clear that we should be excelling. You see, birds were meant to fly. But did you know there's a bird that doesn't fly? A chicken. A chicken doesn't fly. Listen, God doesn't want us to be chickens who run from the battle. God wants us to be eagles that soar above the battle. But here's what happens. Too many Christians are afraid. Afraid to step out in faith. Afraid to soar on the wings of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. You'll see what I mean. He says this, but pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Understand this. If you and I don't desire spiritual gifts, then we won't get them. In order to get spiritual gifts, you and I have to what? Desire them. We have to want the spiritual gifts to be active in our life. See, too many Christians come to church. That's great. Yay. And never think about the gifts, never think about the fact that we should desire gifts. Sure, you come, you enjoy church, you enjoy the worship, enjoy the fellowship, then you go home. And God's like, you didn't ask for spiritual gifts. Remember, I told you for several months before Pentecost, I said, hey, remember Luke? Jesus says in Luke, you know, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask. Right? Well, here's what Paul said. Paul said in chapter 12, desire spiritual gifts. He says here in 14, desire spiritual gifts. But here's the point. Love should be the motive for desiring spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not theologies that we should believe. They're gifts that we can receive. Huge difference. But Pastor Randy, if I believe in Jesus, don't I receive the Holy Spirit? Why do I have to ask for gifts? Well, I'll tell you why. Because yes, you receive the Holy Spirit if you believe. And by the way, if you haven't surrendered your life, I highly encourage you to do so. But listen, what happens is I receive the Holy Spirit, but then I'm like, okay, I'm saved. And we think that's all there is to it. But that's not the case. There is still so much more. And that's why he says, desire, in other words, pursue, want to have them active in your life. But yet we desire, you got to know this, we desire strange things. We do. That's why, by the way, that's why advertisers know this and they manipulate us. Well, just watch a TV commercial. Advertisers want us to buy strange things like shampoo. My daughters one day, they went shopping because we were out of shampoo and they came home with a shampoo and I go to go wash my hair and it smelled very different. I was like, what is this? It was aloe, apple, strawberry, banana, wheat germ, papaya shampoo. And I'm like, I didn't know whether to wash my hair or make a sandwich. I was like, what is this? They're like, oh, Dad, the nutrients are good for your hair. I go, I understand that, but I thought you eat the nutrients and the nutrients find their way to the follicles. Like, for instance, carrots are good for my eyes, but I don't apply them directly, right? That would have a very adverse effect. But we buy it, don't we? We buy into what the advertisers tell us. We buy the lame things that the world is selling, yet we don't desire the wonderful things that God is giving. That's what Paul is saying here. Desire earnestly, seek after, pursue spiritual gifts. But we work very hard for earthly things, like a bigger house, fast car, river and lake toys. Listen, there's nothing wrong with those things. They're good. You got that? Awesome. Good for you. But when those things become our focus, when they're a distraction, when they are an idol, they become dangerous and destructive to our Christian walk. No. Brother and sisters, okay, pursue those things, yes. But do not neglect to pursue the things of God. God is a God of order. Look at verse 2. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue. Now, do me a favor. Here on your Bible in verse 2, circle it, triple underline it, put explosions on the side, whatever you need to do. Because this verse is so important. This verse is going to change the way you look at speaking in tongues. It's going to give you the ability to discern a real tongue from a fake tongue. Look what he says. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. Now, wait. Let's read that again. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to
God.
To who?
God.
Who is he speaking to?
God.
Okay, you got that? That's going to be important. Real important here in a second. So if I were to speak in tongues, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God. Now, we've covered this many times, and we're going to cover it now, but we're going to cover it with a new twist. And that's Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Let's look at verse 1 through 4, then we'll jump down to 11. We'll be in Acts a little bit. So watch this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came the sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in their tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, how did they speak? According to what the Holy Spirit wanted them to do. Watch this. Now, after that, he lists all these different, Parthians, Medes, Romans, Cretans, and of course he mentions Jews, but a whole bunch of others. And then he says this in verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So what are they speaking? What are they hearing? They're hearing them speak to God praising God for what God has done. They're not speaking to men. They weren't speaking to the people. They were worshiping God. They were proclaiming his goodness. Now, jump down to verse 14 of Acts 2. But Peter, look at this, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." In other words, he says this, I know you think they're drunk because you don't understand what they're doing, but it's too early for them to be drinking. And I think to myself, boy, is America in trouble. He says this, it's only a third hour. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So here, Peter stands up. They were just speaking in tongues. Everybody was there, heard them. And he stands up and he starts, what? Quoting Joel. And then if you jump down to 38 and 39. So he starts quoting from Joel. He will quote from Jesus and then David. And then he says this in 38 and 39. "And when Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Here's the point. Here's the point. God used powerful tongues to get their attention of the crowd. But they weren't, when they were speaking in tongues, they weren't speaking to the crowd. They were speaking to God. But then Peter, since the crowd was there, stands up. And he doesn't start continuing to speak in tongues. No, he begins to proclaim the word of God. And then, of course, 3,000 people get saved. Tongues are not for evangelism. Yet I see people in the church all the time using tongues and saying, "I was evangelizing, I began speaking in tongues." Tongues are not for us to speak to people. They're for speaking to God. You got that? Okay, watch this. The other thing I don't see the disciples doing in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit poured out his spirit, I didn't see them put up a tent and a big sign that said revival today. Why? Because it was as the Holy Spirit wanted to give them. They didn't know the revival was going to happen. They had no idea. They were just praying. I don't have any idea when revival is going to take place. I pray that it takes place every day. But you know what? I don't know when it's going to happen. So I don't understand. I don't understand how some churches can predict that there's going to be a revival this weekend. How do you know? Or how about this? They didn't do this. They didn't go, hey, who in our group can speak Roman? Who can speak Greek? Who can speak Aramaic? Well, if you speak Roman, get on that side of the room because that's where all the Romans will be. If you speak Greek, get on that side. No, they didn't do that. They didn't know what they were going to speak. Yet I know some pastors that they'll go, "Hey, Billy Bob can speak in tongues. Sally can speak in tongues. Jimmy can speak in tongues. Hey, why don't you sit over here, you sit over there, and you sit over there? That way we get more people speaking in tongues when they hear you. It sounds like it's all over the church." I know pastors that strategically ask people to sit somewhere because they have this gift in order to stir other people into wanting to do it. How is that the Holy Spirit? It's not. Now, someone else will say this. "You know, Pastor Rennie, I'm bilingual." Oh, good for you. "So when I run into someone who speaks French, I can witness the gospel to them, and I speak in tongues." You're not speaking in tongues. You learn that language. I'm proud. I mean, yay, way to go. You're smart. You have a second language. But that's not the gift of tongues. You cannot learn the gift of tongues. It's not a learned language. It's a form of worship where we speak praises to God in an unknown language. One pastor said this. He said, "I have the gift." He told his congregation. He says, "I have the gift of tongues in my prayer language." And everyone goes, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Have any of you ever heard me speak in tongues?" And they go, "No." He goes, "Because I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God. That's what the scripture says. It's a language from me to God." So, tongues are never man speaking to man. It's never God speaking to man. It's always man speaking praises of God, right? You got that? Why? I'm going to show you, you're actually going to see three videos today, but this is the first one. I'm going to show you a video. Listen, I like Perry Stone. I think he's a great guy. I think I've heard parts of messages that were very good. He's very smart, and I think he's sincere. So I want you to watch this, knowing what I just shared with you, what based on what Paul says, you tell me if what you're about to see, if it's real or not real. Watch.
A video. But yes, I want you to tell me what was going on inside of you before the tongues and the interpretation.
We were at the our International Prophetic Summit, which we have every year. We had 4,000 people there. Sid, I'm telling you, my hair's standing up right now. There's something going on in the spirit right now, what we're talking about. And a few times in my life, the man that laid hands on me and prayed for me when I was 18 had a third grade education, and he could speak 8 languages in tongues. Hmm. It was a gift from God. He could go up and say he's a German, and he talked German to the guy and witnessed to him. That man over here and my dad was with him when he did it. The gift of tongues and interpretation was one of the gifts that God gave me when that man prayed for me. It does not happen often. When it happens, I'm usually coming toward the end of a message, and I say this before God, this is the strangest thing. I feel a presence. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's come from within, but right on my right side, 15 times in my life, there's an angel that shows up. I don't ask him to. I don't expect him to. And when he shows up, my hair stands up from here all the way down to my right leg. And it'll put you, the fear of the Lord comes very heavy. And when it happens, I pause. It's like I can't hardly talk. And then many times there'll be a message in tongues and interpretation. But when it happens, it's like the Spirit of God shifts the atmosphere so thick that it wants to put you on your knees. And what we were doing, we were at the International Summit, we were coming to the end of a message, and this was a really encouraging word.
We have this on videotape. This is not a word from Perry Stone.
No.
That's what he's trying to tell you now.
Yeah.
This is a word from God. Let's roll it.
God has a remnant of faithful people. Now, I felt the Holy Ghost right there real heavy. Dear Lord, right behind me right now, my hair's standing up. You know what? That's that angel of the Lord. It's what Jensen and I felt. When he comes, all your hair stands up. The Lord says by the Spirit that He saw the fear that came into your heart a moment ago. And you said to yourself, Lord, how shall this affect me? Have you not read in the Word that the Lord said, I'll go with you always, even unto the end? Have you not read in the Word that I will neither leave you nor forsake you? Have you not read in the Word, for He has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind? In your patience, you possess your soul. But in your faith you are maintained, and by the Spirit you pray, and joy and righteousness and peace remain in you. There is nothing to fear of what man may do unto you. Only fear eternity, and only fear where you shall spend it, with the Lord your God or separated from Him. Fear only that, but fear not what man will do. For greater is He that's in you than he that will ever be in this world. And the Lord will be with His people, and God will give them plans and strategies, and God will provide and direct them, for He has never forsaken His remnant. Hallelujah. Boy, the Lord wanted to say that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, according to Paul, tongue is us speaking to God. So is that what Perry Stone was doing? Are you sure? Was that what Perry Stone was doing? No, he was saying, this is what God wants to say. What he said was true. I mean, he was quoting scripture. Could he not said that in a message without doing the tongue thing? Yeah. And the other thing, here was the red flag for me. He says, an angel shows up. Where is that in scripture that in order to speak in tongues, an angel shows up? I thought that was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, I like Perry Stone, and I think he's sincere, but he can be sincerely wrong. So you go, well then, if he could have just shared that in a testimony, in a teaching without the tongues, then what is a tongue for? Why do we have tongues? Watch, I'll show you. Let's move verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. You see, if no one understands the tongue, if no one understands the language being spoken, then the only person that benefits from the tongue is the person who's speaking the tongue. That's why tongues are most often a prayer language. The only benefit that comes to us, like from a teaching, is if the word of God is being taught clearly and concisely. That's why Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Pastor Randy, when he spoke in tongues, he spoke the word of God. Yeah, but Paul says when you speak in the spirit, when you pray in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. Oh, well, how does that work? Well, hang on, watch. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So what? Check this out. Prophecy, I've told you before, prophecy has two meanings. To foretell, that means what I'm doing right now, talking about God's word. And to foretell, that's where you tell the future. This, in this section of scripture, is clear. He's talking about knowing the future. Okay, so what kind of prophecy is this? Knowing the future. So clearly he's talking that, and he's saying this. If someone prophesies, and it's a real prophecy, that's a message from God to you, or God to your family, or God to your church. That's powerful. If someone were to come in today and openly prophesy over you or me or the church, and it's real, how will we know it's real? Because it'll come to pass. And by the way, if someone prophesies over you and it doesn't come to pass, do me a favor. Walk up to them and say, this is from Pastor Randy. I'm kidding. Don't poke them in the eyes. But listen, the Bible says if someone prophesied and doesn't come to pass, they should remain quiet in the church. But sometimes there is a true prophecy that God will speak through someone. It's addressing us personally. It'll speak to your heart. It's prophecy. Prophecy is like this. Prophecy is like an instant inspiration. It's like a spiritual text from God. I love that. Because the word in the Hebrew for prophecy means to bubble up like a fountain or to tumble forth. It's like this spontaneous thing. However, if it's true prophecy, it must come to pass. If someone prophesied over you 10 years ago and told you, you're going to be this and that, and it hasn't come to pass, that person's a liar. That person is not telling the truth. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and I, first and foremost through Scripture, secondly, through a still small voice, and once in a great while, through a prophecy, through some prophetic utterance. By the way, I was talking with Kathy Moore the other day. She played the keyboards. And I was saying, do you realize that the Bible covers about a 6,000 years span? And if you took all the miracles, all the prophecy, all that in the Bible, and you spread it out over the 6,000 years, it's only like one miracle per every 7 years, something like that. Yet you go to some churches and they're prophesying every day. They're speaking in tongues all the time. They're revival every weekend. It's like, what? I wish that were true. But you'll find out that 9 times out of 10, it's not. We'll show you why here in a second. Do I believe in the gift of tongues? I sure do. But in the proper operation, because God is a God of order. And by the way, did you know in the Old Testament, I love this, the gift of prophecy is compared to a roaring lion? Amos chapter 3, verse 8 says this, a lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? See, that's really good. Why? Think about this. If someone told you next year, like for instance, there was this one gal, she was having trouble having a baby. You know, her and her husband were trying, they couldn't have a baby. Someone prophesied, said, this time next year, you will be pregnant. Exactly 1 year to the date, she got pregnant. And they were like, whoa, that is encouraging to the woman, to the husband, to the church. God spoke. That's powerful. So it is like a lion. But this isn't saying when someone prophesies, they mean to be like, thus saith the Lord. I just woke up some of you, huh? I did that on purpose. It was, what? No, it's not that we are to be loud like a lion. No, it's that authority that comes from God. That's the idea. Verse 4, watch this. This gets better. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the whole church. So once again, prophecy is a message from God to man. Tongues is a message from man to God. Prophecy builds up the church. Tongues builds up the individual. How does that work? Well, think about this. I like to equate it, since it's a form of worship, let's equate it to worship that we're very comfortable with, like praising, singing praises. When you're worshiping, when you're standing there worshiping, are you worshiping to the person next to you? No, you're worshiping God. How creepy would it be if I went up and down the aisle, standing in front of you, looking in your eyes and worshiping, our God is an awesome God, and I went to the next person. But yet, in tongues, you go to some churches, they'll grab your head, they'll look you in the eye, and they'll start, it's like, no, your tongue is to God. Why are you doing that to me? Back off, bro. Creepy much? Why do people treat tongues that way? There's nowhere in the scripture that's what happens. I'm not trying to make fun of it. It hurts my heart. But here's what happens. When people misuse tongues and it's not from God, you know what they do? They make a mockery of Christianity. Can I prove it to you? Remember last week I mentioned to you this one pastor when COVID-19 started, right at the beginning when it started, he came out and he said, COVID-19, I blow you away. And do you know that whole speech that he gave has become this horrible joke on the internet? You can find hundreds of videos where they make fun of Christianity because of this guy. I'm going to show you one such video. Now, I'm not mocking. It hurts my heart, but it is kind of funny. But watch.
About to live stream some church. Let's see what's going on here.
Wind! Almighty!
Almighty!
Strong!
Strong!
Shall win!
Shall win! Nice girl.
Heat!
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 Burn this thing!
Burn this thing.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of your
Satan, bow your knee.
Satan, you bow your knee.
You fall on your face.
You fall on your face.
This man is loony. What is that?
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
I'm blue. The wind of God.
The wind of God.
On you.
On you.
You are destroyed forever.
You are destroyed forever.
And you will never be back.
And you will never be back.
Thank you, our God.
Thank you, our God.
Let it happen.
Girl, I don't understand. This is like false worship or something. This man think he's so great. His podium is clear. He think that podium made out of diamonds. This guy got like $50 million. And then he telling his congregation to pay their tithes, even if they don't have a job during this virus. He's crazy. Look at him blowing this wind. The wind of God. Not even a thing. Here we go. He huffing the
COVID-19!
COVID-19! Oh, he done blew me away. What in there, girl? This man, what he eating for breakfast? Bleach?
When I was an atheist, if I saw that video and then I met you and you told me you were a Christian, I would think you were as nutty as that guy. I'd be like, whoa, don't blow on me, bro. Back off. Did you hear? He claims to have an office seat of a prophet. He claims to be a prophet. And he said way back in 2019, destroyed, COVID-19, destroyed forever, never come back. It's been 2 years. It's still around. Oh, by the way, now we have ninja COVID. I guess only a ninja COVID could withstand his breath. I don't understand that. Listen, he made a joke out of Jesus. He made a joke out of Christianity. And it's sad. So people now mock us because of guys like that. And you go, well, Pastor Randy, there's always going to be mockers. Yeah, I understand that. But it shouldn't be because we twist or ignore what Scripture says. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That guy, I don't think he studies the word at all. How can he? He should be ashamed. He has brought shame onto even our church because people that don't know the difference between us and him, they just clump us all together in one big mash. Listen, God is a God of order. That's out of order. Look at what Paul says. By the way, verse 5, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Because of this verse right there, there are churches that say, well, look at there. Paul wants all of us to speak in tongues. In fact, if you jump down to verse 18 and 19 of this same chapter, it says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. I thank God that I speak in tongues. So they go, look, he wishes that all of us spoke in tongues. He speaks in tongues more than all of us. There. And that's why we speak in tongues every Sunday. No, they forget the next part. It says, yet in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. He says 5 audible, understandable, clear, concise, praiseworthy words that give God honor that line up with his word. He'd rather have 5 of those than 10,000 in a tongue. Yet sometimes you would think that Paul said just the opposite. So he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But even more, that you prophesy. That you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive, watch this, edification. Edification, that means to build up. That isn't correction. That isn't exhortation. That's edification. Just like worship. When we go to worship, it's not corrective. It's like, hey, don't commit adultery. Hey, don't get. We don't sing that. We sing praises unto God. We get to the scripture. Then I go, hey, the scripture says, you know. It's for edification. It's not for correction or exhortation. And then but did you catch that? He says this, tongues are the least of the gifts. The least. Pastor Randy, why? Why what? Why is tongue the least of the gifts? I'll tell you why. Because it's the only gift that doesn't build up the whole church. It only builds up the individual who has the gift of tongues. Unless there's an interpretation, but that has to operate within a certain confines. And 99.9% of the time that I've heard tongues publicly and in interpretation, they've been wrong. It's not biblical. It doesn't line up with Scripture. And it needs to. The most common expression of tongues is a private prayer language. That's why Paul says the person who speaks in tongues is the one who gets blessed. Those aren't my words. Those are Paul's words. It doesn't benefit the church. It benefits you unless it's accompanied by interpretation. But today, here's the problem. Someone will speak in tongues, and then there'll be an interpretation, and it'll sound a lot like Perry Stone. Where, hey, you know, trust in the Lord. Don't worry. Don't fret. The battle belongs to God. And those are all scriptural things, but why then the tongue? The tongue is to praise God. And here's the thing. If you go to a church and someone speaks in tongues and the interpretation is like that, it's not just purely praise to God for you to be edified. It's more corrective or instructive. Then you know that it's a false tongue and a false interpretation, which also means if the pastor doesn't stop it, that the pastor and the pastor and the congregation are suffering from biblical illiteracy. They don't know their Bibles. Not that they're not saved. They're probably saved. Not that they don't love the Lord. Not that they're not nice people. They simply don't know the Scriptures. And they aren't operating within the confines of the Scripture. Paul and the Holy Spirit make it clear how tongues are supposed to operate. Why? Because God is a God of order. Look at verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you with a tongue, what shall I profit you unless I speak either revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or by teaching? Let me read from the New Living Translation. It's a better interpretation. It says this. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you revelation, some special knowledge, prophecy, or teaching, that will be helpful. That's what he's saying here. Now, one last video. This video is only 2 minutes long, but I promise you it feels longer. It's only 2 minutes. But I want you to notice this, okay, please. This preacher in Mississippi, he's going to say this. If you hear me preach, I'm going to preach the Word of God. Now, what we're going to sample here is basically a two-minute sample of what his whole message sounded like, okay? He says, if you hear me preach, I'm going to preach the Word of God. You tell me if you hear him, and he's going to speak in tongues. You tell me if you hear him speak the Word of God. You use your own discernment. Watch. The answer is no. Okay, that's all right. Here, I'll just give you in a nutshell. He does this. He whoops. He hollers. Woo! He claps his hand. He says a couple of words. He says, revival! Revival! He screams that. But when he starts his message, he says this. If you are demon-possessed, don't go to CNN. He goes, don't go to a doctor. Come to a church where someone has the power to cast out a demon. But I'm thinking, don't go to CNN? Since when have you met someone and go, I think they're demon-possessed. If I could only get them over to CNN. What, are you going to take them to Jim Acosta? What, is Wolf Blitzer going to cast out the demon? Think about Wolf Blitzer. I thought, well, maybe he can. Maybe Wolf Blitzer is really a title and not a name. I don't know. But then while he's preaching, I say preaching loosely, and he goes, woo, and he's clapping his hand. He's like, oh, the Spirit of God, revival. People want to start sitting down. He's like, he says this, don't sit down. Stand, for I feel God is here. Now hold the phone. If God's Spirit was there that heavy, do you think he would have to tell people, hey, keep standing, God is here? If God's Spirit were to come into the room that thick that I begin to speak in tongues and there's a powerful revival, trust me, we will all be standing or kneeling or on our faces. I won't have, the people in the, so when they start to sit down, he tells them to stand, they obey him. And by obeying him, they violate God's word. Why? Because they are biblically illiterate. Why? Because their pastor, I use that term loosely, doesn't study the word. Instead, he just gets up there, speaks in tongues, go, woo, revival, revival. And then the church goes, hey, I went to church service. Do you know how easy my job would be if I didn't study and I just got up here and went, shamalabandalahamalala, revival, revival, woo, give the Lord a plan. If I did that, I could do 45 minutes, go home and go golfing. Although I don't golf, but I'd take it up, I'd learn it. I'd have more time. Verse 7. Even things without, watch it, this is so good. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Do you realize that you know trumpet sounds? Like, you know, that's military, right? That's reveille, right? Or how about da-da-da-da-da-da? Charge, thank you, yes. Or how about this? You go to a funeral and they play taps. Da, da, da. You know that means that, you know, someone awesome has passed away and we mourn the loss. You see, Paul says, look, even the use of an inanimate object like a horn, it must know the importance of a clear signal. Imagine if our worship team, if Desiree got up and she's playing some chords, any chord she wants, no rhyme or reason, singing whatever words, and Vanessa's singing, and Jim's playing whatever beat he wants, and Noah's just running on the bass, and they were all doing that as loud as they can at the same time, and you'd come in and go, what in the world is that? No, there has to be a distinct melody and words that offer up worship to God, not to each other, but to him. You know, my son, Dario, he's an MMA fighter, and he's sitting over there, and I didn't want to embarrass him, but he's over there. He's an MMA fighter, and I thought about this. What if I went to his fight, and before his fight, I walked up to him, and I go, he's like, what is that? And I was like, I was singing Eye of the Tiger to get you pumped up. It's like, that didn't work, Dad. How about some clear, just encourage me. See, the idea is this, folks. We come, we study the word of God. Why? To be ready for battle, to be built up for the fight, to sharpen our swords. What does that mean? To understand, to rightly divide the word of God, to know and discern what is spiritual and what is godly. Why? Here's the fact. You and I are going to leave here. Some of us are going to have a hardship. Maybe your car breaks down. You find out you have cancer. You lose a job. Someone in your life that you love passes away. Or you get persecuted or rejected. If all I did was come in on Sunday and speak in tongues and say, all right, God bless you, that doesn't do you much good. But if I come in here and say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That gives you something to build on. That's the word of God. That will encourage you better than me going shamalama ding dong. See, the church is all about communication, proper, clear, comprehensible communication. And tongues is like worship. Yes, it's valuable. It can be uplifting, but it's a praise language unto God. Well, how does that work? Well, first of all, let me explain this. The Corinthian church, they were all focused on spiritual gifts. Paul said, hey, you come short and no gift. They were all focused on the gift, kind of like a baby. When the baby, some mother will give the baby the keys so they can munch on it because he's teething and the baby sits there drooling. The baby's missing the point of the keys. The keys were meant to go in the ignition, turn that engine, and drive. But instead, he's just drooling on them. It's like the church. The gift of the spiritual gifts were for power and for doing something wonderful and for growing the church and to work in tandem, not for showing off. Some would say, I would say this, that the church today begins now that churches find their identity in spiritual gifts instead of finding their identity in Christ and in the Word of God. Christian will walk up and say, you know, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I speak in tongues. No. Okay, so you're Spirit-filled? So if I slap you, you're going to still love me? Oh, I guess you're not so Spirit-filled, are you? Or how about this? Hey, our church is Spirit-filled. Well, yeah, but why? Well, because we all speak in tongues. Well, no. You know what that is? That ends up being your identity as a church. No, we're Spirit-filled. Why? Because we love Jesus. We worship him, and we rightly divide the word of truth. That's a Spirit-filled church. It ends up being when you call a church Spirit-filled because everyone speaks in tongues. It's self-centered entertainment. It's self-focused service. That's what it is. Hey, I speak in tongues. Everyone look at me. I'm godly. That becomes their identity. That was the Corinthian church. But God is a God of order. Verse 9. So, likewise you, unless you utter by a tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking to the air. If I speak in tongues and no one understands what I'm saying, I might as well just be going, speaking to the air, gibberish. I'm going to give you three quick verses that speak of what we should do in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you are doing also. In other words, comfort, edify with words, understandable words. How about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 from the New Living Translation? It says this, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So our words need to be encouragement. You cannot be encouragement by shamalama ding dong. It's not going to happen. Or how about Colossians chapter 4, verse 6? Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. See, the emphasis is on that we would encourage, that we would stir up, that we would be iron sharpening iron, that we would rightly divide the word of truth, that there would be an understanding. Here you go. That there is a difference between prophecy and tongue. Prophecy is God speaking to us. Tongue is us praising God, period. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of language in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of a language, how I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. In other words, he says there's all kinds of languages. And if you don't know the language, you're foreigners to each other. Did you realize there are 6,912 different languages in the world? Yeah. I arguably know one. Okay. But when I was in school, I took 2 years of French. But prior to taking French, I took 1 year of Spanish. And here was my thinking. Okay, I'm Hispanic. I got that background. I'm Italian and Indian, but mostly Hispanic. And so I know some Spanish a little bit. So if I take Spanish, that's an easy A. Well, I got a C+. And one of my friends came up to me and goes, dude, Randy Castillo, you got a C+ in Spanish? It's like a second language. I said, dude, you got a D in English. It's like your primary language. In the English language, There are 1,300,000 words. That includes technical words, words that we don't normally use, like in medical field, mechanical field, engineering, that kind of thing. There's 1,300,000 words. The average person in your life, in your whole life, will use 60,000 words of that 1,300,000. But daily vocabulary, the average person uses about 7,000 words. You know what that means? You and I use less than 1% of the language. You know what that means? There's a limitation. It becomes a problem when we want to communicate something important, impactful. We often find it difficult to articulate our ideas, our concepts, our emotions. Listen, the more emotional the idea, the more difficult it is to articulate it. See, I experience this in two areas. Let me share this with you. I am a music fanatic. When I say music, you go, I love music too. No, I promise you. I take music loving to a new level. I cry listening to instrumentals, okay? No words, because I'm impacted by the music. So I look around for all these earbuds. I finally find some earbuds that are amazing, and I let someone hear. I go, ooh, you got to hear this. And they listen and go, oh, that's nice. I'm like, give me those. No, you don't hear the space, the air, the level of detail. They were nice. It's like, oh. There's another place when I'm studying and I read a verse and the verse hits me so hard and so powerful, and so beautiful. And then I come up here and I read it to y'all and I look out there and y'all are like, so what? I'm like, oh, go back to sleep. You see, I read these verses and I go, isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that neat? Isn't that far out and funky? Listen, we run out of words to describe. Language is limited. By the way, language changes. Do you realize language changes? Remember, a long time ago, it used to be when something was good, you go, oh, that's so cool. And then it became, oh, man, that's bad. You know, the first time I heard that, I was like, so it's not good? No, it's good bad, right? Then, oh, that's sick. Well, then better get a healing for it. Then that phrase came, right? Oh, that's off the hook. Well, recently, it was, hey, that's lit. That's lit. Well, I found out from Alyssa and Riley this week that the new phrase is, when you like something, that's bussing. That's bussing? Yeah, it's like the bus, like the, yeah, it's bussing. I was like, what? Okay, so I said to my wife, I said, hey, honey, dinner was mass transit. It's trying to be cool, man. But you understand, here you go. The Holy Spirit knows every language spoken, even languages of angels. So He can plant words in my heart, in my mind, words that I don't know, words that will articulate the emotions of the depth of my heart that sometimes I struggle with. I understand from people who have the gift of tongues, I don't have the gift of tongues. Maybe one day I will. I don't have it right now. But I understand that people say that when they have tongues in their prayer language, they go, when they get to the point where they just don't know what else to pray, the Holy Spirit begins to give them utterance so that they're fluent and they're not fumbling and they're not frustrated. And the gift of tongues then refreshes their hearts with words they couldn't articulate. That's what a tongue is, because we're limited in our vocabulary, and God deserves so much more than we can offer. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So in other words, if you speak in tongues in the church setting, we'll look at that next time we visit 1 Corinthians. He's going to talk how it operates in the church. But it's mostly a prayer language. But if you're in a church setting, if you're in a group and you begin to speak in tongues, there needs to be someone to interpret so that there can be this praise of God, like in a worship service when we come all together. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. We need to understand. That is important. But if I'm praying by myself and I run out of words and the Holy Spirit takes over and then I'm refreshed, that's good. I don't need to know what's being said. The person who speaks in tongues doesn't need an interpretation. And then verse 15, and we'll begin to wrap up. But look at what Paul says. He's so funny. What is the conclusion then? Funny, it sounds like Paul is concluding, yet this is verse 15. He's going to do another 35 verses, and then the next chapter has 58 verses. Yet he says, in conclusion, oh, he's just teasing us. He's not done. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding. Here's the correlation. Praying and singing are both worship to God, and it needs to be with understanding. And if I pray in a tongue, that's for the edifying of myself, unless there's an interpretation, and then it's all praise to God. That's the purpose. But it gets me. Sometimes I'll come to a little prayer meeting, and there'll be a few of us, and someone inevitably will stop praying to God and start praying to us, and it's like a mini sermon. And you know that they're not talking to God anymore because they're like, you know, and, you know, I did this and my shopping list was full and I was walking through this. It's like, what are you doing? You know, listen, our prayer, our praise, our worship needs to be to God. And I agree with Paul. I prefer prophecy over tongues. Why? Because when we prophesy, it benefits the whole body and there is an order and not disorder. And it is a greater gift than tongues. Tongue is the least of the gifts. So stop finding identity. And if you know someone who does, help them to understand that that's not our identity. You don't need tongues to be incredibly godly. And God is a God of order. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And whew, I had to go fast, Lord. Thank you for this time in your word. I pray that we as a church have a clear understanding of how prophecy is to work, how tongues are to work. And Lord, that we would have enough discernment to be able to tell real from fake, spiritual from show. And Father God, that we also, Lord, would be loving enough to guide and correct in love those who don't know better, who are ignorant of your word. Maybe they love you with all their heart, but they're ignorant of your word. Lord, may we all grow up in spiritual things, Lord. May we help us, Lord. Help me, God. And Lord, I also want to pray that you would press upon the hearts of those who are here. Maybe there's someone here who has never accepted you, Lord Jesus, that you, God, would call them by name and they would feel the need to come up and get prayer with one of the deacons here. That would be awesome, so that they can begin to seek after spiritual gifts, because we cannot seek after gifts if we are not saved. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that maybe there's people here who are saved who haven't earnestly even been desiring spiritual gifts, aren't even knew that they were supposed to be desiring, that maybe they would come up and pray with one of these deacons and they would begin to seek after those gifts. And perhaps even the deacon would confess that he needs to seek after the gifts. I don't know, Lord. I know I do. I need to seek after the gifts more earnestly, God. And so, Lord, would you please move through this church, move through us, move through our individual hearts, move through my heart, Lord, that I may earnestly, continually knock, seek, and ask for that infilling of your Spirit. And so, Lord, if anyone needs prayer, I pray that you come forward. And, Lord, I also want to remind that if anyone has a youth going, that they go across the street, across the parking lot to the youth center. And, Lord, may we have a great turnout for my pastor this Wednesday. Lord, we just love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you need